Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron alongside, or virtually alongside, Jenny Hubby.
Virtually. Hi, everyone.
Virtually. Well, we have an exciting guest with us today, and it's always great to have coaches from different parts of the country come on our show, tell us about their coaching practice, and showcase some of their work that they do with their clients. And, man, I'm excited to hear about what Vernita, our guest, has to say today. And if you want to do the introduction, Jenny or Vernita, and pick it up from there.
Sure, I'll be glad to. So I'm so glad that Vernita's joining us on a Monday after a holiday, after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a great holiday. And it's an honor for me to introduce Vernita Stege from Seattle with Keystone Life Coaching, because Vernita is really the reason that I'm in the coaching business. She coached me and has coached me for years, and she'll coach me for the rest of my life, because that's so important to me to continue to grow and be a better person and happier and healthier and all the things that we want for our life. So that's what I have found for Vernita, or my experience with Vernita. And something that drew me to Vernita was her professional background in work, and she'll talk more about that, working in corporate America for years and retiring from corporate America and then reinventing herself and doing something that she loves to do, and that's help other people develop themselves. And I love that Vernita has the professional experience, a rich personal experience with family relationships and managing all of that, which is sometimes more challenging than careers. So I just can't say enough about Vernita's authenticity, her professional expertise, and just the way she uses her coaching technique in working with a special population. And so I will, without further ado, introduce Vernita, and would love for you to kind of give an overview of your specialty area, and then we'd love to talk more about that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon. Jenny, the pleasure is all mine coaching you. We really get some work done, but we, more than anything, we have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think my journey into coaching wasn't planned. I did work for corporate America for 32 years and eventually took early retirement, and bottom line, without a plan, which wasn't really smart on my behalf, but I just wanted to retire, whatever that meant. And basically within 2 weeks, I was bored out of my mind, and very long story that I'll cut short, but I had been referred to Dr. Jane Gardner, who is principal of the Gardner Institute, and she asked if I would like to become one of her coaches. She's a PhD. She has a therapy practice, but she also saw a need for coaching. So she formed a coaching institute. And when she called, it's kind of funny, and I've told the story a million times, but when she called, I thought, who is this lady and how do I get her off the phone? Because I basically, I thought, let's see, I just retired. I want to go back to work, and better yet, go back to school, become certified, whatever. I don't think so. So I basically hung up the phone, and my husband said, gosh, who was that? And I said, well, you won't believe this. And so I explained the situation to him, and he says, why wouldn't you consider that? He says, you're the one that says you miss working with the people, whatever. So a very long story short, that's how I became a coach. And I went into coaching, was trained on coaching and ongoing coaching opportunities with the Gardner Institute. And my original niche was business. And because that was my forte. But along with business came life, and then my own coach said, have you thought about recovery coaching? And I thought, oh, well, no, I haven't, because it's not as though you can just hand out flyers in an AA meeting. And I kind of poo-pooed that. But more and more in my coaching and business and life, I saw that there was a need for this. And so that's how I also added recovery to my coaching expertise. So I'm a life, business, and a recovery coach. And I actually do a lot of recovery coaching, and I love it. I love every bit of it. But no matter what, I believe that we were all born with a special purpose, and coaching helps us to uncover and rediscover that purpose. So that's how I got into coaching.
So when you talk about recovery coaching, Bernita, how do you describe recovery coaching?
It's a very good question. I have several answers for that. First of all, the difference between let me begin by saying I'm a card-carrying member of AA, but I also believe that recovery is not just a one-size-fits-all, and coaching may not be for everyone, but coaching does help build strong bridges between where that person is today and where they want to go. And whether or not an individual is in a structured program or not and ready to rebuild the life that has been disrupted due to their addiction, and if that client is spiritually open-minded and just tired of being tired, then coaching just might be a perfect match.
Well, that's for them. Because so many people that when they're revamping their lives, the question is, well, what do I do now with my life? Right. And so you help them discover, not just in recovery, but discovery of what's next for them.
Right. And I base that off of my own personal experience. When I was in treatment, I remember the day that I was going to be released. And I remember signing my discharge papers and walking towards the door headed towards the outside. And I just remember that feeling of panic and fear and thinking to myself, now what? I knew and I wanted to get sober. But what then? Right. I had a job. I was blessed that I had a job, but I still thought, the what now? And so that's what I use in my coaching, along with the mindset for recovery process. I really believe that as far as emotional sobriety, that abstinence is not recovery. And so I was in treatment and I abstained from alcohol. But it's a starting point of recovery, and staying power turns to abstinence into true recovery is the development of solid emotional self-management skills. And that's what my coaching is all about.
Solid emotional self-management skills. That sounds like something we could all use.
I know I've been to many a meetings where the people say I had problems with living.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You talk about the mindset for success or the mindset for recovery process. And so that's a coaching process that you use. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. I was certified in the mindset for success process that was developed by the Gardner Institute, Dr. Jane Gardner. And through coaching to that, I got permission to adapt that mindset for success process to mindset for recovery, because it worked hand in hand. The two processes worked hand in hand. And I would like to say that in no way is this mindset for recovery process designed to do away with the 12-step program. It works hand in hand with it, and in many ways, it enhances our 12-step program. So I'm not implying at all that this replaces our 12-step program for those that are in the Alcoholics Anonymous program.
You know, I brought this up last week. How would you differentiate what you do from sponsorship, and how is it different?
Yeah, well, sponsorship in the 12-step teaches us to live a sober life. The coaching enables us to look inside ourselves and better define our purpose moving forward. You know, it's a difference between getting sober versus staying sober, leading to a purposeful life.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
A purposeful life. So how do you do assessment? How do you assist your client? You know, now they're abstinent, they come out of treatment, and I do some of this work as well, but how do you help them find that purpose? Do you have assessment tools, or do you just through interviewing, or talk a little bit about that discovery process with your clients?
Sure. They're ready to move forward and take action. And one thing that we'll hear in the AA program, move your feet and God will take care of the details. You know, we're told to take action, but that's where so many get stuck. You know I want to move forward, but I don't know what I want. And so in preliminary discussions with a potential client, I'll ask, so what do you want? You know, tell me two goals that you want. And, they want a better career, or they want a career. They want to change a career. They want better communication. They want to be happy. They want, you know, whatever their goal is. And so then before even coaching and to get to know them better, I have them really put pen to paper on that and better define that. You know, what does that mean exactly? Is it realistic? By when do you want this goal reached? For example, on they want to be happy. What does that mean exactly? You know, you want to be happy. And then the more they think about it, well, I want to be happy in my marriage, or I want, you know, and if that's the case, then I'm going to suggest a therapy, you know, have you talk to, you know, therapy, because I will refer out immediately if it's not a coach, you know, if they need more than just coaching. But it's generally along the lines of, I want to be able to better communicate. I want to change careers, but I'm afraid because I have this career now. And what if I change and I don't like it? Well, what if you change and you do like it? That type of thing. So there's all that preliminary assessment that goes on. Questions for them. Tell me five of your biggest accomplishments to date in your life. What are five characteristics do you admire in others, and which of them do you possess? Getting them to go deeper inside of them to think about themselves and able to move forward. Am I answering your question?
Yes. Yes, you certainly are. You certainly are. I love that depth. And also, I think there's some confusion in the coaching community about sober coaching versus recovery coaching. Tell us your distinction between those two practices.
Sober coaching and recovery coaching.
Feel like a master of defense.
That's a very good question, Bruce.
I've been to Hollywood a bit and been offered to live in the homes of celebrities to sober coach them, basically. You know, it's kind of a babysitting thing, if you will. On steroids, there's a lot of other things. Whereas recovery coaching sometimes comes after a treatment event or a treatment episode, kind of, I don't want to say the aftercare program. Sounds campy, but.
So you're saying sober coaching is sort of helping them stay sober, where recovery coaching is more about helping them live?
Ongoing process.
Longer term plan.
Yeah, you know, we do offer I'm getting it now. So we do offer sober coaching and that's where we will go. So someone's just getting out of treatment, but they want someone there with them for a while to introduce them to meetings, get them going, you know, and as you said, babysitting, that kind of rang true for sober coaching to me. Recovery coaching, the AA program provides us new motivation and a new action pattern. And that action is, if we're talking AA specific, that gets us to getting to our meetings, getting to a sponsor, working with the sponsor, going through the steps, whatever. Where our process is getting instead of it being an action pattern, it's introducing a process. You know, you decide where you want. You got to do that other stuff, but. Okay, so now you have these goals. So there begins the process, you know, and that's where I use the mindset for recovery process.
Yeah, it's
so
a great question.
I guess the difference between sober and recovery coaching, yes.
Yeah, it's a great question because I do hear those terms a lot. I hear them interchangeably. I hear them used differently. And so that's a great question. It's a great point. I don't know. For me, in my mind, I when somebody says sober coaching, I wonder what they mean as well. And my first thought is they're coaching someone to stay sober, whereas recovery coaching is coaching them to recover, and recover is to at least, you know, loosely defined, is really to find a new way of living healthy and happy with knowing that you've got an illness. So it could be recovery from cancer. It could be recovery from an injury. So it's like, or divorce or recovery. There's so many ways to recover. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And using this process, I'm able to assist in helping the client to recognize their limited ideas of who they are and or have become, and help them to remember their truth that they could not see before. And once my clients choose a life of addiction free, a blank canvas appears and they become the designer of their future path. So that's putting the accountability on them. Mm. You know, they're having a say in their life, probably for the first time in a very long time. I think, may I give you an example of that?
Oh, please.
I had a husband, who had lost his wife to cancer. And he went the route of he drank a little too much, and he recognized that, went into treatment. And when he got out, he the thing is that his goals was, what was he going to do with the rest of his life? Because he had, his wife had died. He was raising twin sons, and the twin sons were getting ready to graduate from high school and head off to college. So all of a sudden he had this new life of recovery, and then all of a sudden his sons were his life, and they're leaving him to go,
wow,
go into. And so he had this blank canvas, and so that's a term I used. Okay, you have this blank canvas, so let's talk about this. What is it you're wanting to do? Well, he had a good job. He was doing great in sobriety. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but there was this void in his life, you know, what to do. Well, bit by bit, he worked through it. And one thing he wanted to do, outside interest, you know, what is it you'd like to do? He says, well, I kind of like to join a hiking club, you know, go trail hiking, whatever. And so then we went through this. So what's preventing you from doing that? Whatever. He says, I don't know. I'd have to meet new people, and I haven't been out there in so long. I don't know how. So that fear, you know, the fear of trying something new. Very long story short, through his coaching, he did do that. He met a gal that had been widowed, and I was invited to their wedding 3 years later. Anyway, long story short, here he had this big void in his life and a new life on top of it, you know, recovery, whatever. And through coaching, he was able to put some goals together, eliminate some of his fears, eliminate some of his limiting beliefs that he had about himself, and move forward. So that's
cool.
Kind of a fun story I love to share, because that's how the process works.
Love it. Well, and I loved the metaphor you used with him, with the blank canvas. That reframes it from my life is void, I have void in my life, to you have a blank canvas. You can do anything you want with that canvas. And then you're, through your coaching, you're encouraging him and you champion him, and he goes out and takes some risk. And then he gets a bonus relationship out of it, which doesn't happen with everyone. But what's cool about that is he found someone that he has something in common with that shares a similar passion. And that's so rewarding. Yeah. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Love it. So, question for you about, when you talk a little bit more about, you know, you talked about with, when you start with clients, you start with sort of what are your goals and helping them really drill down and define and refine their goals so that they know when they reach their goals, you know, when they reach their goals, and they get what they want out of coaching. So then once that's defined, how does the mindset for recovery, how does that coaching process help them? Because that's really a huge piece of your specialty area, is the way you're coaching them in recovery, the process that you're using. So talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Sure. Just let me go back to goals a little bit. It's not uncommon for them to establish the two goals that sound realistic and measurable and whatever. But halfway through the process, they're realizing that, hey, this is what I really want.
Ah,
So that's worth knowing too.
Wow.
And that's those are huge aha moments that I love to hear. The mindset for so once we begin the mindset, let me tell you a little bit about the mindset for recovery process. I think your question is right, Jenny.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a year-long process, and it's what we call 12 dialogues. And the dialogues are actually split into two segments. The first six are finding out about who you are not, and the next six are finding out who you are. And we start out by them learning to listen to themselves and establishing some self-care habits, such as journaling, finding me time, and establishing the win mentality. And the win mentality are just like our gratitudes in AA. However, on wins, W-I-N, wins, there are two kinds, inside and outside. And inside it are those things that we notice about ourselves. You know, gosh, you know, I was on time. Gosh, I spoke up in a meeting. Gosh, you know, I'm looking a little healthier. The outside wins are more tricky because those are the things that people say about us to us. For example, thanks for being on time. Glad to see you again. Boy, you're looking healthy. Appreciated what you had to say. Those are the things that we tend to ignore. We go through one ear and out the other, because if you're in recovery and newly into sobriety, people haven't said that many nice things about you. And so we got so used to tuning those things out. So now I'm asking that they, at the beginning of every call or every meeting, that they tell me about some of their inside and outside wins. And it's a learned behavior, learning to identify those outside wins.
It's that, establishing a new thing. Pattern. It is. That's huge.
Yeah. Part of the process is identifying their limiting self-beliefs. We all have them. It's important for the client to understand that we all have them, whether you're in sobriety or who, no matter who. And we're born with this this given purpose. And somehow along the line, whether it's through school or church or parents or whatever, we've lost some of that good stuff. And we form some limiting beliefs, and it's important that we understand what those are so that we acknowledge those and move forward, so that we move forward. So this is all a part of finding out who you are not. Mm-hmm. Also spend time naming their mask, and that's all a part of our conditioned self, and talk about the reasons for dropping our mask. Then we go into fulfilling your needs. You know, what are you needing? What's preventing you from getting that need met? What are you tolerating? And what kind of habit do you have to put in place to eliminate that need?
It's interesting to get
that need met.
I'd like you to go back to that mask. Talk about What was the name of that mask again? And let's talk about that for a second. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's naming our mask.
Naming our mask. It's like a Johari thing. It was just like our public self. Is that? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. For example, through a bunch of coaching questions or whatever, coached through this process in order for me to become certified. So when we got to naming the mask through a bunch of coaching questions and exercises, my mask was named Polly Perfect. You know, I was poly perfect. I had to do everything perfect, whatever. And it's kind of a fun little exercise because people really get controlling Connie, you know, whatever. And we get to know who we really are not, but it's through our limiting beliefs and our conditioned self that we projected ourselves this way.
Like, for example, mine was penny pleaser. So even though I had perfection in there, my perfection was about pleasing others. It was focused on other people being happy at my expense many times. And that's that mask that I would wear.
I think that's really good. I mean, it just brings... It brings all those observations down into a personal name. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I like that because I do a lot of corporate work, and so many of these C-suite folks, you know, and also it's doubling up with their substance use issues. But that mask is a huge, huge deal, and I appreciate you sharing that.
It is great insight.
Yeah.
So, you know, question I have for you, Vernita. So you talked about the first part of the coaching process is finding out or understanding who you are not. It's interesting that you do that first. It's like, it's that mask. It's, talk about why it's important to do that before you talk about who you really are.
Well, it's important for us to know where we're at before we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the whys. Why do I do that? You know, why do I insist that fajitas have to be made with green peppers and not red peppers? You know, why, you know, just those questions, you know, we have, you know, why am I acting that way? You know, why can't it be this way? And it's all the perfection in me coming out. So I needed to understand that and my limiting beliefs before I could make a clear distinction to where I wanted to be. You know, what was holding me back from all that? What was all the stuff? You know, my perfection was getting in the way, you know, among other things. But it was the name of my, you know, going back to the mask, that was the name of my mask. I'm using that as an example. My limiting beliefs, you know, I had been in the business world a long time, and I had a very responsible job and career. And so when I was coached through the process, I thought, well, I shouldn't have that many limiting beliefs. Goodness sakes, you know, I'm pretty
I've accomplished
though.
So much. Yeah.
And what do you know? I came up with 21 of them.
Wow.
Absolutely blew me away. And, you know, getting rejected is the worst thing that can happen to me. I'm not worthy of love, attention, or success. On and on and on, 21 of them. And then we come up with a common belief, limiting belief. And mine was, I'm just not worthy, you know, for reasons, whatever. But those were my limiting beliefs that prevented me from moving forward. My career was saved because, you know, I started at 17, so I worked my way up through that, and I was trained. You know, I knew what I was doing. I didn't really have to do anything different or outstanding or whatever. You know, I was guided through that.
You were an expert. Life was, yeah.
Yeah, but life was certainly a different subject, you know, meeting life head on through divorce. Death,
isn't that
whatever.
Interesting? Because in your career, you were an expert at that. So that did not necessarily trigger that mask if you will, but then in other areas of your life, maybe, and this is true for all of us, is that maybe that's where, in areas where we don't feel expert, that we get triggered and that and we put that mask back on before we know it. So yeah. How do you help people recognize, how do you help clients recognize when they have that mask back on and taking it off, helping them take it off?
Okay, let me ask you, Jenny, how do you coach your clients to do that?
Well, good question. So, you know, going back to something you said is, why am I doing this? Why do I keep doing this? And so I learned personally and professionally with clients that that is that's a sign. Here's my sign. If I'm asking, why do I keep doing this? Then most likely it's something I don't want to do. It doesn't serve me well. It's not part of my authentic self and is part of the mask. And so then that's when I need to focus back on who I really am, my authentic self. What do I need to do to correct that situation? And usually I need to talk to my coach about it. So what are your thoughts, Vernita?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. You know, it's the aha. Okay, I get it. So what? I'm falling back here. So what do I need to do? Well, I need to talk to someone about it. Oh, my coach, she's the one that maybe pointed this out. So that's exactly what, you know, what we do. But you know, whether you're going through the process or not, the whole process is intended to give us tools that we use, you know, on a continuing basis. You know, it's not you just go through the process and you're done with it. It's the tools we use. And when I just used that fajita example, that truly happened. My husband asked if I needed anything at the store, and I said yes. We were having fajitas for dinner, and would he mind bringing home a pepper? Well, he brought home a red pepper instead of a green pepper, because in my perfect mind for fajitas, it was the green pepper, you know. And afterwards, I thought, oh my God, Polly Perfect's in action again, you know. Oh, and then he said, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a huge difference to a perfectionist, you know. And after that whole thing, I, you know, of course, it came to amends, but I recognized, okay, Polly Perfect's in action again, you know. So what
that's
do I need
great
to do about
example.
That? Yeah.
A yeah. Great example. So, Bruce.
But part of the moving forward through the process is the fun part when we find out who we really are. And that's when we talk about our values, redefining our values, taking another look at our values, our strengths and talents, and see how they're aligning with our original goals that we had set up at the beginning of our coaching relationships. So
it's interesting how that all of this really, it does play back, right? It plays right back to their goals, what they
were,
and how those patterns of that, the mask patterns, how they block what we really want in life and our purpose as well. So question for Bruce is, you know, how do you see this playing out with your client population?
Yeah, a lot of my client population really has, you know, they're in trouble. And they need to do something to avoid pain or to get out of a painful situation or to get to a better place. So the beauty of that is that for my people is that we don't have to do a lot of soul searching about, you know, the first order of business is, like I said, abstinence, staying sober, and, you know, making the choices to do that. And the second order of business is kind of recovering from damage. you know, turning north, making amends. And those amends are behavioral goals that I force
on right.
plan.
It's not just I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Amends are actions, right.
Right.
Well, you're asking for, you know, say you're sorry, asking for forgiveness and then making those amends.
Yeah.
And kind of building, you know, kind of nudging those into the coaching plan, because I think, you know, meaningful action is the cure for everything. Clinical depression,
yeah.
whatever.
True.
And so, you know, my job is to be there with a little bit more teeth in it, to kind of, you know, get them on this new road. And then, well, you know, I'm like the training wheels on a new road of living. So, that's how this, you know, this all applies. This is the populations might be different, some of the presenting issues might be different in terms of the coaching relationship. But yeah, I just you know, I love hearing that, because I think, you know, anybody who's an alcoholic or an addict, I mean, those are the people that can deceive themselves. You know, that's the people they deceive is themselves. And when you talk about that mask, and you talk about those things, I mean, we all are deceive ourselves, you know, whether we're in recovery or not. So it's not like that's a big, huge statement against people with substance use disorders. It's just that it seems like they do a better job of that deception than other groupings of humans. So, it's just really interesting to see how these things fit, you know. And at the end of the day, as coaches, we are our brand. You know what I mean? I mean, I couldn't be Bonita. Bonita couldn't be me, or, you know, Jenny, or, you know, you're your own person. So it's really interesting how we take coaching tools and concepts and just apply those in a very unique way that is us. You know what I mean?
Who we
are as people. So it's really
authentic.
Fun to see and hear what Bernita's saying. Man, you know, you can tell she's a veteran, man. She's been doing this and just kind of has that veteran pace, you know. It's awesome.
You mentioned forgiveness, and one of the things I love doing is that I teach an IOP class every Friday night, and this last Friday, and I use the concepts from the Mindset for Recovery in working with these kids. And so the subject on Friday was, what do you suppose the difference is between asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness, which are two big things. And man, they really got into it. Just that simple question, you know, asking for forgiveness, isn't that about, you know, our four-step stuff? And I said, yeah, what do you think? And so, well, what about granting forgiveness? You know, what about that other stuff? And it led into, we got to continue the conversation on Friday, or this coming Friday, because they really got into it, you know. So I know the process works. You know, I question whether the younger generation would be ready for some of this stuff. So I kind of tested it out, and they are, you know.
Wow,
it's all about the
great
questions, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's all about the questions, because they'll then, their answers will tell you where they're at and what they're capable of processing at that point and accepting at that point. I love that the coaching that you do is called a process, because I've heard people say that, in fact, I know somebody that said that, they said, well, I did the 12 steps like it was linear, like we just do them and we're done. And right. And so what you're doing, what you're talking about with your coaching, is that it's really a process of life. It's part of the journey of life, is learning more about who we really are, who we're not, and how do we live more authentically and really connect with our purpose and not living the life that other people expect us to live, or whether it's not just living what they expect, but maybe living the limitations that other people have maybe tried to put on us, or we think they've put on us. And so what you're doing is helping people free up from that and live the life that is authentic for them.
Right. Well, my purpose and message to my potential clients is to rewire the limiting beliefs that hold them stuck in patterns and addictions and or addictions, to learn how to get honest with themselves and others. That's a biggie.
Yeah, and who wants to stay stuck?
Yeah, to treat yourself with compassion and care, to remove the conditioning that has masked who you really are and become your authentic self, your true self. And to create action steps to obtain and sustain the life you deserve to live. I don't know whether I mentioned this, but at the end of every session that I have with a client, they leave with an accountability. And that's a huge benefit, because that then puts the ball in their court. They come up with the accountability and they're responsible for it. And so at the beginning of our next session, it's the first thing I'll ask. How's your journaling? Tell me about some of your wins inside and outside, particularly the outside. And then let's see, what was your accountability last week? And then they'll say, you know, what they've done, whatever. So it's one thing talking about something, but it's another thing for them to take the action and move forward.
What you're saying is you're not just talking to them on a session. You're really helping the client move forward, and their movement has to do not just with the session, but with what they do in between the sessions.
Yeah, that's totally my responsibility. It's my job to understand the people that I'm helping and hold them accountable to the goals that they set.
Yeah.
And act as an advocate while moving them into action.
Wow, you sound kind of tough.
I love what I do.
You love to be tough. And, you know, I'll add, too, that I hired Bernita before I met her in person, because she was referred, or I was referred to her by someone I trust and respect. And I felt comfortable working over the phone. I can read people pretty well over the phone, because that's in my background, my career. Not everyone is that way. But that's another thing, Bruce, that, you know, we talk about with coaching that's different than therapy, than the clinical world, is that the format that's used for coaching is very open and very free depending on the client. So it's really, I kind of call it convenience coaching, because it can be done phone to phone, it can be done face to face, or computer to computer.
Exactly. So I really like that, about the journaling, the wins, inside, outside, and your accountability. I love that. It's a great structure piece to take away with everybody, and that's a good way to kind of lead your client for the sessions. Well, folks, that's it. We're out of time. And here on the Concierge Coaches Show. So, Bernita, if you could, let our listeners know how they can reach you, your website, or your best contact information.
Sure, I can read. My email is Bernita, Bernita, underscore Keystone, KEYSTONE, at comcast.net. My web is keystonelifecoaching.com, and my phone number is 425-299-1379.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks so much for the opportunity to share, you guys.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and we might have you come on again sometime and get some updates on what you're doing and how you're doing it. And thanks for sharing the techniques. I know that our listeners are primarily, we have coaches and consumers of coaching services that love to hear some of these techniques that you brought forth today. And folks, don't hesitate to see our site on Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. You can download and or listen for free. We have it set up for free, all our prior shows on iTunes, Concierge Coaches Show. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Jenny, what's your contact info?
I can be reached at jhubconsulting.com, jhubconsulting.com.
Excellent. Well, until next week, folks, thanks for tuning in and listening to the podcast. And we'll see you next time here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.